I want to go on Rookie Fever.
Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get the show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Fadero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright. The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. Wait, see.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever. Episode 186. We are through round one, round two, a little bit begun. Here, as always, with the feverish Fanero.
How the hell are you?
Happy draft weekend, guys.
It's the Christmas FF underscore spaceman.
I feel rested, guys, back from vacation, and I missed you. I'm happy to be back. I'm glad we're doing this. This is a perfect way to come back talking draft.
You feel rested, and you missed us. Dave was on vacation. Some family. How'd it go? How was vacation?
It was unbelievable. I got to spend every day with extended family. Everyone's vaccinated of those people we spent time with. It was probably a trip, even though I was just back home, I'll probably remember for a long, long time. It was really special.
How long
it had
it been
since Christmas of 2019 since I'd seen my grandparents and been home to Maine. So this was really cool. It was really awesome.
Checking the vaccination cards at the door there at Dave's family reunions. They get real serious. So through round one, some instant reactions, or I guess it's not instant. We decided to have a little time to sleep on it, actually, so we could kind of digest some of this, watch the draft. I had a hell of a time watching the draft with my wife last night, and now I get to have a hell of a time with you guys.
What do you guys think was the biggest winner of the first round? Not team, the player. Biggest winner.
For a player? Like, so are you talking fantasy-wise, Fanero, or just who won the most?
Yeah, fantasy wise. So, like, if I was eyeing up this player was on my list. Whose stock rose the most for you? Who was the biggest winner?
Okay, so I don't know if I feel like for me his stock rose the most, but okay. I feel like the confirmation I have in Najee Harris and that landing spot, I feel great about. I would feel much better now, like moving into that top three or four. And paying up a little bit more, knowing that if my needs didn't have to be a quarterback, that I have him in the landing spot that we predicted. We thought it would happen, but the confirmation of it. So I don't know if it's the value that you're looking for that went up, but for me, I love that landing spot. I mean, you can't go wrong. It's just a no-brainer, right?
Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with that. I think the reason I didn't go there is because of what you just said. We all kind of knew he was going there, or really felt strongly about it, so...
Well, we don't know yours yet. We don't know yours yet.
Who's my biggest winner?
Yeah.
My biggest winner is Trey Lance. I literally think this guy could not have fallen into a better spot. And I wouldn't rule out people. I think everyone keeps hearing that it's Garoppolo's gig this whole year. I wouldn't rule out Trey Lance starting this year, guys. I really wouldn't rule that out.
I agree.
Yeah, I love him in this system. I think, honestly, man, I think Shanahan basically said, okay, what can I teach? Like, what skill sets can I not teach? Okay, so everything Trey Lance has. Okay, and then is Trey Lance an intelligent man? Yes, they loved how smart Trey Lance is. Then he's just like, I'll coach everything else. Like, just give me that guy that I can't give these gifts to, but is intelligent and will listen to everything I say, soak it up like a sponge. Oh, my God, Trey Lance, dude, biggest winner. He moved up my rankings quarterback.
I like that a lot. I feel like Kyle Shanahan, though, deserves some kind of Oscar for that performance when he was speaking so highly of Jimmy Garoppolo and how it's so important that we keep him around. And I just can't imagine it without him here. And hats off to him. Like, that was probably the best performance of the evening, in my opinion. And I don't know if it did justice to what he was trying to do, which is get the Patriots to trade for him rather than wait for them to cut him. But hats off to Shanahan, and I agree. I love the landing spot for Trey Lance, Fanero. What about you, Dave?
So I think I've always had, well, I wouldn't say always, but I've had Trey Lance at 103 for a long time now, but I think the fantasy community is catching up to where he's going to be the 102 and 103 in Superflex drafts. So I think that, like, from a value move, yes. I think it just answers a lot of my, just a lot of confirmation for me, because what I think and what it does for the community as a whole, what draft capital does for these quarterbacks, any question marks that we've had about Lance, about the competition level, about basically competition level, not playing for a year. Kyle Shanahan, what people respect as one of the better coaches in the NFL, said that does not matter to me. And when you trade up from 12 or whatever it was to get to 3 and to select Lance there, that just says a lot. Trey Lance is, I'm really excited for what that does for his, just overall, his just rounds out his profile as a quarterback.
Do you have a player other than Harris or Trey Lance that you kind of feel better about their landing spot, or the player because of the landing spot? Oh, excuse me. Just let you talk tonight, Finero.
Oh, that's to me.
No, it was to Dave.
I'll actually go a little contrarian here and just say that Jalen Waddle, who I had in my third tier, I did not think he was going to get the draft capital that he did to be the first wide receiver off the board, or the second wide receiver off the board, and to get to land with Miami. I'm not saying that he's going to be moving up like over Bateman necessarily for me, but he's going to be moving up a tier at least to into that where people. So I have a lot more. I'm paying a lot more attention to Waddle, who I was just happy for whoever took him, because he was going Finero in the rookie fever drafts. He was going at 202, 203 in a lot of places, right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, Waddle for me, like, we get to find out if Tua has a deep ball now. You know, I know Waddle does more than that, but for me, like, that's Tua's downside right now is, like, we all believe it's because the weapons weren't there. So now with Waddle there, I like the thought experiment to see, like, what we're going to get out of Tua now. I think it's a weapon that he doesn't have and should be interesting.
I mean, quite personally, like, I'm surprised that you still have Bateman over Waddle.
Yeah, it's just because I'm a big time where anything first, second round, I don't let these individual draft picks sway me as far as draft capital is concerned. A lot of that is scheme dependent, what teams value for their players. So I kind of toss that aside. And the concern is about, you know, Baltimore. Baltimore, by saying they in taking a first round pick in a wide receiver, they're telling me that they want to give Lamar Jackson weapons. Are they necessarily increasing their pass attempts? I don't know, but they throw a lot of touchdowns to pass catchers in Baltimore. Maybe he'll be a little bit more TD dependent. I'm not necessarily going to rush and make any emotional knee jerk reactions, because that's where I've actually made my biggest mistakes, is on draft night, or is to react to something. I want to process a little bit more than just make an immediate reaction on a player, because I'm not taking a pick at least for a week in any of my drafts. So
sure, I totally hear you there. And for me, it's not just the draft capital though, but also that landing spot. For me, I couldn't think of two teams I wanted my wide receivers to go to less than Philly and the Ravens. And then so for me to see Bateman, and I think I'm on record, like, Bateman was already one of the guys I was a little bit lower on. So I kind of feel like I dodged a bullet in a sense, because I wasn't chasing him anyway. So to see him land on a team where it was going to turn me off from their wide receivers was kind of a win-win for me. And here's the thing. I mean, what I'm kind of listening to is Galladay, Juju, Corey Davis, all the guys that went there and ended up not wanting to be there. And I think that there's a reason for that. I think that they know what they're getting into as far as what the offense wants to do and how hindered they've been. 37 starts, and he's averaged 191 yards through the air in 37 starts.
It jumps closer to 200 when you throw out his rookie year. So, I mean, I'm not as like,
closer to 200.
Yeah, closer to 200. Yeah, like almost sold. Like 196. Yeah, I know. But then he's also throwing.
We got rid of stats, and we're still not even over 200.
He's throwing He's also throwing over two touchdowns per game. So that's something where other other QBs aren't doing, like, throwing as many touchdowns. So
no, I'm not talking about Lamar Jackson. I'm talking about his weapons and what is going to be there for them. Sure, yeah, he might throw two touchdowns through the air, but are they going to Mark Andrews? What week are they yours?
Yeah, no, that's a fair statement that there's the reasons there are concerns exactly. But I think I will going back to a point you just made about like the free agents not landing there, I think it might have been a cap situation too, why those players weren't going there as well. So I don't think it was just purely they didn't want to play with Lamar Jackson.
I am out on Bateman.
I think Bateman should be a Giant, just for the record. I don't think Tony should have went before him. I think a lot of people feel that way. I think you would like Bateman a little bit more on the Giants. That said, I'm trying to learn also from kind of giving landing spots too much credit. I feel like sometimes what we do is we like double count, basically draft, like our opinions get double counted. So basically if we don't like a player, they're already lower. And then the draft stock or landing spot confirms that, which you already kind of had in your head. And I feel like you just discount players even further. I feel like for me, trying to take the AJ Brown lesson, if you will, when everyone faded him because he went to Tennessee and that seemed like a horrible situation. I'm not saying obviously the same thing isn't going to happen. There's going to be a quarterback change in Baltimore anytime soon, but there could be an offensive shift to passing the ball a little bit more than they are right now, and not just rubber stamping last year into this year. And last year was a down year across the board for them on offense. So I don't know. Things change in the NFL a lot quicker than they used to. So I do get hanging
on.
But
what's going to change in Baltimore?
Well, like I just said, I think they could change. They could pass the ball more. That could happen. I mean, we don't even know who Dobbins is yet. I mean, what if Dobbins? I mean, we all want Dobbins to be good. What if Dobbins isn't good?
I think Dobbins is good.
I do too. I'm just saying, like, that's one scenario where something could change. What if Dobbins gets hurt?
I think there's a higher chance that Dobbins is good than that Bateman is good.
Yeah, I mean, you're coming in not liking Bateman. I hear you.
And the landing spot.
Well, I know the landing spot. That's kind of my point. Is I'm trying. I think the tendency is to automatically say, okay, this is great. Like a wide receiver I didn't like went to a bad landing spot. This is perfect. He's off my radar. That's fine. And I don't blame you for feeling that way. I'm just trying to fade that a little bit in my mind because I feel like I missed out on players.
You guys can. I'll try not to beat the idea to death and like throughout the shows. But yeah, for me, and when we think of the Titans, I get it too. But that was kind of like a crappy team. The Ravens aren't necessarily a crappy team. It's just the style of play and me assuming that they're still going to use Gus Edwards, Lamar on the ground a lot. And of course, Dobbins. And then what's left over? You know, they've got some decent weapons now, but I don't know. That's where I'm at with it.
Swags, I will just say I have the initial reaction too. When I'm sitting there, I'm thinking,
same here.
I have that feeling too. I don't want to say that I 100% get what you're saying. So I don't want to say like I'm just totally on the opposite side of you at all. I have that feeling as well.
I agree. And honestly, these are less than 24 hours worth of reaction. So there's some baking in that both Dave and I have to do, you know, and then we have an entire, you know, preseason coming into here too, that sure. We can kind of look at, but
well, in the off season trades, a lot of stuff could still happen. So, but let's stay, cause Philly did draft a wide receiver. I brought up that was another landing spot. I don't really prefer for my wide receivers. I don't hate this one as much though. How do you guys feel about Devontae Smith in Philly? Dave, we'll throw it to you first. I feel like you haven't got to talk quite as much.
Oh, I feel like I've talked a ton. So,
let's play paper, rock, scissors, pencil.
I did get a comment that was the worst paper, rock, scissors ever on a podcast. So that's.
I don't know, man. I think pencil will forever live on.
Yeah, I think it should be added somehow, like or the at least the eraser side.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh gosh, what happens is that the question for me is, am I moving Devonta Smith over Rashad Bateman? And I think that's what I am doing. I had Bateman as my wide receiver 3 pre-draft, and I had Devonta Smith as my 4. I think I'm actually going to be moving Devonta Smith up a little bit. And the reason is because one, there's not a ton of target competition in Philly. Jalen Reagor is there, who I still like. You've got the tight ends. You've got the running back who catches out the backfield. But there's not like an alpha there right now that you have to worry about who's going to be hogging up targets. And I think that's a positive side to Smith. He gets a draft capital. And did Philly trade it up to get him, right?
Yeah, right over the Giants.
So and the Giants were rumored of going a Bama wide receiver.
They were. That's pretty much confirmed.
So that says a lot to me that actually, maybe it shouldn't, because Howie Roseman's luck with picking wide receivers, but that they wanted Smith and they wanted to get them instead of the Giants getting them. So I like me Devonta Smith, and that's where my head's at right now, is trying to my wide receiver two, or the second wide receiver tier, is how I'm trying to shuffle it out. And Devonta Smith is definitely there for me.
Venero, I have a lot to ask you about, but I do also, I want to start with Devonta Smith and you as well.
Yeah. So like for me, it was crazy. I feel like the quarterbacks that were drafted in the first round all landed exactly where they're supposed to be. They just stuck the landing. Every single one of them, I think, stuck the landing. Wide receivers, however, they seem like they just totally missed the mark. We have Bateman should have went to the Giants. We have Kadarius Toney. That would have been nice to go to Baltimore. I would have loved that, Swags. I wasn't big on Kadarius Toney anyway. Put him in Baltimore. Devontae Smith,
So you know exactly how I feel.
I know how you feel. We admitted that we feel the way you feel. We're trying to suppress those feelings.
We want
be more open-minded.
I am not letting that happen. I want to put the right players in the right spots, and that's on your damn rosters.
Yeah, I hear you, dude. Yeah, I don't love the Devonta Smith landing. But then again, you know, dude, so much is just crazy with Philadelphia last year. Who the hell knows? Maybe Jalen Hurts can make that reunion something to be proud of. I mean, I told you guys that Devonta Smith, no matter where he landed, was going to remain my wide receiver too. I am still there. He is still my wide receiver too, but that's not where I wanted him.
Yeah, makes sense. We've talked about Kadarius Toney a couple times here. Finero, let me ask Dave this before we get to Finero. Maybe we'll get to Dave. Do you think it would be better to let Finero tell us how he feels about Toney, or just for me to like clip in our Voxer chat and how he feels about Toney?
I actually think that would be gold.
I think that would be better. That would probably be better podcasting.
We'll see what we can do. We'll try to beat that, Finero.
Nice. What was your guys' biggest surprise of the first round?
My biggest surprise is that Denver didn't take a quarterback, to be completely honest with you. That surprised me a lot. But I'm interested now to see what ends up happening with this Aaron Rodgers situation. And I could see... It seems like now they are starting to set up a decent situation for a quarterback not named Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater.
Can you imagine that Denver and Green Bay are close to an agreement, and then Denver basically, like you said, Swags, is drafting for that, you know, landing spot of Aaron Rodgers, and then Aaron Rodgers just says, I'm out. I'm retiring.
Dude, yeah. He's leaving a lot of money on the table if he does, though, quite honestly.
I heard. But I think the guy can make a ton of money after this, too.
He can. Jeopardy, and he's made money, plenty maybe. Of money. Yeah. Yeah. Jeopardy will pay him. He's made plenty of money. I think he wants to play some more football, though, if he can figure out a way. But I think he's fine retiring if he needs to.
I think you're right, dude. I think he's that kind of guy, right? I think it's going to surprise. The initial surprise hit us all. But now I think I wouldn't be surprised anymore if he just walked away.
Yep.
My biggest surprise of the draft was Travis Etienne to the Jaguars. That one just seemed unnecessary.
I agree with you. I'm glad you brought it up.
That's high draft.
I wasn't surprised that's where he ended up, but I was surprised that's where they took him.
Yeah, they could have went defense with the next pick.
Yep.
Because their defense is horrendous. Could have went defense with that Travis Etienne pick, and Travis probably would have still been there when they picked early in the next round. I think David is reacting to the second round pick of offensive player that might be bothering him a little bit. I don't know if we want to segue that soon in the second round. We could possibly save that.
I'll save it. I'll be professional.
But he's mentally disturbed, is all I want to say.
I'm flush, but I'm going to stay. I'm locked into this round, this conversation.
The problem here is, as we lock Dave back in, is that damn AJ Greenlove soaking in. That's your tease to what's going on in Mr. Dave's head.
There you go. At least we all know what's going on.
How'd you feel about ETN, Dave?
That was my biggest shock of the night. I was floored away, or blown away, not floored away. And what I was thinking about this a lot today on my commute is that I need to do a better job of not what I think teams should do and assuming that they're going to do what I think is best for their team, but I need to have a better handling of a range of outcomes for not only my existing players in the NFL and like a range of outcome for players who could come in and provide competition, but also not necessarily assuming the best possible landing spot for a running back. And not that I do that, but I just think just dive into it a little bit more and say like, hey, what happens when you don't get the, you know, James Robinson is legitimate competition for ETN. I do not see ETN having an 80% share of that offense. That's not going to happen. But just understanding how do I react to that? How do I value that? Because ETN, I want to get a pulse of what the community is doing about ETN. Have you guys gotten a feel? Are people excited about ETN going in round one? Are they concerned of the competition? Have you guys gotten a feel?
I think a majority of people are burying Robinson.
That's yeah, they almost talked about that. They didn't even focus on anything about ETN or how they feel about him. It's all just about like, ha ha ha, James Robinson is dead. Yeah.
We knew that this was a possibility, whether they were going to draft one in the second or third round. Seriously, the way people just want to be right about Robinson fading away into non-existence, they could have drafted a running back in the fourth or fifth round, and this narrative still would have been there.
Well, and that's just it, dude. Exactly. You nailed it. Right. And what people aren't willing to talk about and what people don't want to hear is how successful Travis Etienne has to actually be out the gate in the NFL, because they don't have to use him if he's not. They have James Robinson, who's already shown that he can be successful. James Robinson's still going to have a part of that backfield. It's Travis Etienne that hasn't proven himself to this point. Even if they want to go that route, he's the one that has to prove himself, not James Robinson.
Let's go to Etienne's ceiling, right? Everyone likes to compare him to freaking Alvin Kamara. I hate any comparison to Alvin Kamara, by the way. And just as much as I hate every comparison to Tyreek Hill. But let's just do that for a second. His first year could look a lot like Alvin Kamara's first year. Or Ingram pretty much ran the ball for, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, hell, they had Peterson at one point. Alvin Kamara eventually won that role. But that's his ceiling. That's Etienne's best case scenario is halfway through the season he earns that 70 or 80%. But that's if he was Alvin Kamara. He's not going to be. There's a very good chance. There's a better chance he's not going to be that. So whatever he winds up on the spectrum, it could just wind up being, and we all hate it in fantasy, it could be like every backfield is eventually gravitating towards as a two-back backfield.
Sure. And it could just be that simple. That's kind of what we talked about before this happened. And, I mean, we're comparing Kamara to – or James Robinson to a veteran Mark Ingram at that point in his career who was on his way out anyway. Mm-hmm. And I mean, James Robinson had 1,400 yards last year. Best undrafted free agent ever. Imagine if you just sold Chris Carson for a third round pick because they drafted Rashad Penny.
Yeah. And my biggest, I don't like the Alvin Kamara comparison because I think it's, you always make a mistake when you are betting on that ceiling, like you're saying, Finero. I think I'm thinking more Austin Eckler type thing and Austin Eckler, Melvin Gordon type share. That's kind of what in my head, how I see things playing, because there's a lot of weapons over there in San Diego. They have a decent line. That's kind of how I'm thinking how this is going to play out a little bit more. So where both backs are going to have value.
Mark Ingram had 2,000 yard seasons with Kamara there. Just saying.
Another good point.
Yeah. I think the buy window for Robinson is wide open.
Yep.
There's no doubt about that. I think there's just going to be, and they talked about regardless of when they picked a running back, that was going to happen. So it's here, and it's probably here stronger than it ever could be, because Etienne is one of those guys that a lot of people, you know, love. Like, you know, possibly in some cases, I've seen people put him as their RB1 pre-draft. Now, if he isn't their RB1, he's one of the top three. He's more most common the second, and he was drafted in the first round, which is earlier than all of us thought. So you add that all into the mix, that the value for Robinson has to be just insanely low right now.
It's plummeted.
Yeah. And if you feel like he's going to get, you know, the ability to share the workload, let's call it 50-50 over the course of the year. There's some value there.
Yeah. I don't even hate that. And I don't even know that. I mean, I'm not talking about, okay, the snaps share is one thing, but like how many touches James Robinson actually gets, they don't even play the same style game. They're going to complement each other very well. I'm fine with both players, but I don't think James Robinson is the one that has to prove himself at this point. People are, they have it backwards. Go ahead and put all your stock into the that player. I'm not saying I'm staying off of him, but I'm all about going to get some James Robinson. Twitter is the worst fantasy analyst out there, unless like you're ultra focused on like some people that you know are giving good advice. Like to always like accidentally get caught up in like ignorant bliss, it's just devastating to your teams. It pisses me off.
All right. And it's also highly reactionary, right? So like yeah. Some of the thoughts that go through our head for half a second live on Twitter.
Yes.
You know, they just live there.
And it snowballs, sure.
Yeah, yes. And it snowballs.
Yes.
It's contagious, yep.
Yeah, absolutely. We still didn't really get to hear much about Kadarius Toney from the Feverish Finero.
Do you have that recording?
I do. I don't have it like just plugged in ready to go in the moment for you. I could easily make anything you say on Voxer into an MP3 file.
That's kind of scary.
For my pleasure.
Yeah, that's kind of scary. Especially for your pleasure. That makes it really scary.
Even better, right? Outside of Kadarius Toney and the quarterbacks, I think the only offensive player we really didn't touch on too much was Kyle Pitts.
Or Chase.
Yeah, I feel like we didn't really. We might have.
Oh, we didn't. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, Jamar really Chase to the Bengals.
Yeah, so it's funny. The Kyle Pitts thing, I don't ever hear Austin Hooper's name once. And it's strange to me because I feel like nobody likes Austin Hooper, so they don't make the parallels anymore. But while Austin Hooper was there, there was a commitment to the tight end, you know, and I think that commitment's going to be there again. My interesting fun talk point about Kyle Pitts is Hayden Hurst and how he could be used with Kyle Pitts. I think people are just putting the nail in his coffin, and so many teams, just like we talked about at running back, are trying to utilize 12 personnel. They're trying to use, I mean, what could Kyle Pitts and Hurst do together, especially in year one or year two, when Kyle Pitts is not going to be, you know, what everyone wants him to be in year one.
Yeah. And the games where Julio's not playing.
Yeah.
Or if he gets traded
as well. Yeah. And those games as well. So Kyle Pitts, I think landed in a fantastic spot for Kyle Pitts. And I also like, obviously, the commitment to Matt Ryan is good for Pitts. I guess I shouldn't say that. I guess there's still an opportunity for one of those second tier quarterbacks to go to Atlanta. But my favorite landing spot for one of those second tier quarterbacks is Pittsburgh. They have to make a move.
1.75 tight end premium. Are you taking Kyle Pitts or Jamar Chase? You're on the clock.
I'm taking Jamar Chase, 100%.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm with you guys.
1.75 had me hesitating a little bit.
1.5?
I thought you said 1.75.
I did. Do you feel the same at 1.5?
Yeah, I picked Chase. So yeah, you're lowering the point total for tight end. So yeah, I still picked Chase.
Oh, you had Chase. So you're Chase and you're Pitt. I missed that.
No, we're both Chase.
Oh, I think I'm Kyle Pitts.
Are you?
With the 1.75.
Yeah, 1.75 is like practically double the points per reception.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty tough to fade, but I think I still might do it. Just because we're just assuming too much, I think, with Kyle Pitts right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're just assuming he's going to be a top three tight end. I just can't do that just yet. I can't. I need to see him play a game, maybe.
Chase's a top 24
wide
receiver?
No, I understand that. No, I totally get where you're saying. I just feel like more secure about that than at tight end, just because of the position. I feel more secure.
It was actually you just now on
this
Rookie Fever podcast you've been telling me about that made me realize I needed to push Pitts over Jamar Chase.
Oh, really?
Yes.
How did I do that?
Because, like you said, the way Hooper was used, how quickly it happened.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is a different prospect than Austin Hooper, and Austin Hooper is a fine prospect.
Oh, absolutely. I agree.
But this is an amazing prospect, and it just only comes around so much. And just with the chance that even if Julio is traded, save some money, if Julio is in and out of games, Calvin Ridley and Kyle Pitts, that's pretty handy.
Actually, to your point, Swags, right? We have like a test chamber where we put Austin Hooper in Kyle Pitts' situation, and he's actually Austin Hooper. We take him out of said situation without that said quarterback, and he's just a guy, like literally, like he's barely a tight end too. I mean, Austin Hooper was a top five tight end with Matt Ryan. So I hear you.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to compare Austin Hooper because that was in a different regime as well. You've got the tight end or the coach from Tennessee coming in, and they use that and how they use Jonnu Smith. I think I'm more looking how Tennessee used their tight ends than how Austin Hooper was used personally. For me, that's just how I'm kind of approaching it. But
yeah, that's fair.
And then for me, the question is, I don't care about the premium. I care if from one tight end to two tight end. I might go Pitts in a two tight end league over Chase. That's where it gets interesting for me because premium at tight end doesn't really do a lot for me. But as soon as you go two tight ends, then it gets where I'm like, okay, I might do Pitts over Chase.
Mm. Who would you rather have throwing you the ball, Matt Ryan or Brandon Allen?
Matt Ryan.
Exactly.
Matt Ryan.
I thought that was like a trick question.
No, this team is loaded with weapons. They didn't need Ja'Marr Chase. How long is Joe Burrow going to be throwing the ball? Everybody just wants to be excited and act like this was a smart, amazing pick. I don't know, man. There's a lot of young weapons to go around. Yes, they have familiarity with each other, but I mean, it's been a year away. Got a quarterback coming back from injury. Man, I don't know. I like Ja'Marr Chase a lot, so I don't want it to turn into this thing where it sounds like I don't, but the Falcons taking Pitts at four was huge for my rookie ranks in anything assumed from 1.5 up in tight end premium.
Would you, after Ja'Marr Chase, if you had a choice to take, so now you have all the rest of the wide receivers, no matter how you rank them, you get any one
after
of those wide
Ja'Marr
receivers.
Chase?
Yep, you get any one of those wide receivers you want or Kyle Pitts, and I'm dropping it down to, I was going to go 1.25, but we'll leave it at 1.5.
Oh, so I get to add on any wide receiver?
Or Kyle Pitts. I'm asking you to make a choice between any wide receiver not named Ja'Marr Chase.
I want Chase more than any other wide receiver.
Right. So he's out. Somebody picked him already. So now you get Kyle Pitts or any other wide receiver. You still picking Kyle Pitts?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, if Chase is my wide receiver one, then I'm definitely not taking like Waddle over Pitts.
Right. That's my question. Not taking Waddle, not taking Devonta Smith, none of them.
No, Devonta Smith, no sir. I'll have Waddle over Devonta Smith.
I don't know. I'm going to be in a rookie draft, and I'm going to see Swags go Bateman over Pitts. I'm calling it right now.
Dave, I don't have any picks in that draft. I drafted Joe Mixon, Jared Goff, and somebody else.
This was the reunited draft, though, right? Like Burrow and Chase, Tua and Waddle. Then you have Jalen Hurts and Devonta Smith. And even, this is a weird one, Penny Sewell used to protect Justin Herbert in college. And he's going to get to protect him in the NFL. And then you have Trevor Lawrence teaming up with Etienne.
It's crazy. I always knew like the children were the future, but I didn't know the coaches were just going to hand them the draft like on the night they were drafted. Right? Just like, and who do you want us to take to add for you?
Yep.
We know you haven't won the quarterback competition, Jalen, but who do you want here in Philly with you? I don't know.
Who would you like us to draft?
And I know that that's not what really happened, but I don't know. It's kind of weird. This is the amount of time that these guys told me at the beginning of the show I'm supposed to try to push us out of here. So I am at Swagzilla0G. This is our round. Is this a round one week recap with no quarterbacks? Maybe we'll hit some quarterbacks later.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
He is at ArtBarkTV, at FF_Spaceman. We are at Rookie Fever. This is our intro right here. So that was really freaking cool.
I want a drop of that.
Oh, we'll leave it in for him. This is what we live for.
I don't want it to be over.
No, we'll just have to do a part two.
Oh, round two. Why'd you do me that way?
That's your boy.
Ugh. My phone is blowing up right now.
And this is going to prove that I'm a Giants fan. I'm starting to not hate the Kadarius Toney pick. for the Giants. And because of that shade you're talking about, which he had before he went to the Giants, before, well, after they have Golladay, I don't know. I'm wondering if he's going to go so far in rookie drafts, I'm going to own some of them. Maybe more than some. Maybe a decent amount. I don't know, that could be to my own demise, but same kind of reasons.